Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and today we're going to spend some time on the water. We're going to be talking about later on about a new book out about the Chippewa River, but right now we're going to talk about paddling and paddle sports with our guest Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. You may have some questions about the sport. Maybe it has to do with equipment. Maybe it has to do with safety. Maybe you've got some great ideas about places to paddle, or maybe you want to know where to go. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Darren, welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks. I love the music.
Yeah, it's kind of get you in the mood to get out and do something. And you know what? Paddling is I love to get out and do things like paddle, kayak. I have a kayak. I've done a lot of canoeing. And it's just a good way to get out.
Oh, yeah. It's the best, and especially given where we live. I've got a friend who lives out in Virginia who moved from here and for work. And his kayak hasn't gotten wet yet. He's really bummed about it, but there's no place to go within, 20 minutes or half an hour. And around here, you can't drive a few miles without running over a creek or, someplace to go.
Yeah, there are a lot of places. If you are new, what are resources for finding waterways that may fit your skill level? No matter if you're just new at the game or an expert.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to do it. One is local clubs. There's quite a few paddling clubs in the state. If you just, Google Wisconsin paddling clubs, they'll all pop up. Milwaukee area has the Sierra Club River Touring section that's fantastic. They do trips. Madison has its Mad City Paddlers, and there's Green Bay Sea Kayakers, and there's Milwaukee area Sea Kayakers. There's lots of them.
Yeah.
The other one is a really great website called Miles Paddled, and that's good for southern Wisconsin. Tim Bowers has got this crazy thing, wants to paddle thousands and thousands of miles within 2 hours of Madison. So he goes on trips and writes trip reports and water levels. It's more information than you need. They're really, really good.
And what's it called again?
MilesPaddled.com.
MilesPaddled.com. Taking a look at some of the new things or trends that are going on, what are you seeing for trends? I wondered about fishing kayaks.
Yeah, I'm sure you see a lot more out there on the water now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think people figured out finally that, people have been fishing from kayaks for, thousands of years. My friends were fishing from sea kayaks for, hand lining for halibut 25, 30 years ago. Now it's its own category, and they have these kayaks that are specifically set up for fishing, and they're wonderful. They've got places for rod holders. Some have live wells. Some have propulsion systems, either manual or electronic. They're really cool, and they go into about 6 inches of water, and that's the thing they've discovered is there's places that they can go that the big boats can't, and they're finding fish there.
And so,
because there's no boats, right?
So you're selling a few of those from time to time.
We are indeed. It's a very fast growing category.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we'll talk about some more categories, but I want to get Mike and Appleton a chance to join in. Mike, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm recently retired, and I have an artificial hip. But I've always been kind of fascinated with the whole kayaking thing. And I'm in pretty good shape. I'm a runner and stuff. Is this something that I could get involved with because I've got an artificial hip?
Absolutely. My wife is a recently retired school teacher, and she got a new hip, 2 or 3 years ago, and was feeling better 3 weeks after she had the hip replaced than she had for years. She had no idea how much pain she was in until it was gone, right? She's kayaking all over the place. She's doing everything she did before and then some. So, as long as it's comfortable, then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. What's a good way? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
No, how do I, learn about this? Because, I don't want to buy a kayak. I don't know the first thing about it. So how do I get started?
Yeah, maybe a rental or...
Yeah, I would... Well, So rentals are great. You have to be careful because sometimes the rental equipment people use is
not
the,
good.
The cheapest they can get because that's why we rent, but we rent what we sell just because that's what I want to do.
Okay.
Talk to people who know. Well, you're in Appleton? Let's see.
Yes.
Who do I know up there? You might talk to Dive Point and Stevens Point. They're not too far, are they?
Okay. Yeah, I know where that's at.
Yeah. All right. They're great folks.
And
okay. Hey, go ahead.
Well, no, I'm pleased that you called, and I hope you'll go ahead and look into it, Mike, because I think you're going to really enjoy it. Sounds like you're the kind of person who would really like it.
Okay. Hey, thank you for helping me. Have a good day.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You as well. Thanks so much for calling. Jody in Washburn, your turn. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Larry. I think you're awesome. Thank you so much for your show.
Thank you.
I'm up here in Washburn, and I just wanted to let folks know about the Washburn Board Across the Bay event that's happening next weekend in Washburn, Wisconsin, on the shore of Lake Superior.
So what's it all about?
It is a stand-up paddleboard race. And there's a 3-mile race, there's a 7-mile race, and then a 14-mile race. And in addition to allowing stand-up paddleboarders to race, there's also kind of an unlimited watercraft class. So canoes, sea kayaks are also allowed to join in the fun. And I've done it once before. It's a ton of fun.
And it's this weekend.
It's actually next weekend, so it's July 22nd.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Sounds like a floating party.
It's kind of a floating party, yes. Yep.
And I imagine there's food and refreshments and all kinds of things to go along with it.
I've never really stuck around for that part, but there's lots of good food around.
there is lots of good food in Washburn. I know that for a fact.
Yeah. Good pizza.
Yeah, definitely good pizza, yep.
Cool. Thanks,
all right,
Jody.
Well, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks, Jody.
Appreciate the call. You know, stand-up paddling, you know, that's another area where there probably have been some improvements over time in the boards themselves.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the board started off in surf conditions. So what stand-up paddling was in the Midwest is a surfboard paddled standing up. And it doesn't really work very well for our kind of water. You know, we're more of a displacement hull type versus planing hull type people. So you want to go surf on like Michigan, you can take a regular stand-up paddleboard. But we're seeing a transition from just straight surf-type boards and race-type boards, which are long, skinny, and go fast, to something kind of a hybrid in the middle. And that's really where the sweet spot is. So that's what I'm paddling now is a 12.5-footer It's not the 14-foot race board that's 22 inches wide and makes me want to fall over. And it's not the big, wide, stable, but won't go straight board. So, yeah, the hybrids are great.
Oh, sounds great. Bill in La Crosse has something for you. Let's go there. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thank you. My question has to do, I'm 80 years old and I'm a long-time canoeist. But canoe is getting a little too heavy for me to put up on the car. And I'm thinking of switching to kayaking for a little lighter weight to get up there. And I'm wondering what length kayak I should be aiming for.
Well, let's back up a little bit. There are canoes that are lighter than kayaks, much lighter. So don't give up canoeing for weight. There's other options. But that said, if you want to switch to a smaller kayak, it depends on the river and the rivers and the lakes you're on. What kind of water do you want to paddle?
Streams. I live in La Crosse, and we have several rivers to canoe or to paddle. And I paddled just all of them, and up north too.
What kind of canoe do you have now?
A Winona.
Okay, and how much does it weigh roughly? Do you know?
A little over 60 pounds.
Oh, it's a tandem then? Okay.
Yes, it is, and it's got a extra seat. Rib down the center.
Okay. Yeah, those are older and heavier. Yeah. You can get a tandem canoe as low as 36 pounds.
36?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But then I've got to sell this one, which this is probably possible, but...
Of course. There's always a market for used canoes. there's always a Boy Scout who needs a canoe.
Back to kayaking, though.
Yes. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm biased.
You're biased on canoes.
I love canoeing.
Well, I do too. I've been doing it for 60, 70 years.
Sure. So what I would say is, you know, a 12-foot kayak, somewhere in there, between 12 and 13 12 feet.
13-foot?
Yeah, that'll handle it.
All right.
Sure.
And
so
you...
I need to get something under 50 pounds, so...
How about 31?
31, beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, there's a boat called the... it's the Hurricane Santee.
Hurricane
Santee? S-A-N-T-E-E. It's 11 feet, 6 inches long, and weighs about 31 pounds, 32
oh,
pounds.
Oh, that's great. Well, that means I've got to drive to Madison, though, to find it.
Oh, sorry. I'll buy you lunch.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Okay.
All right, Bill.
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
yeah,
Bill.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You shouldn't give up on the canoe, though.
I don't think so.
But, I think you should look at those lightweight. What do you get for around 35 pounds in a canoe of what he's? Or can you get one that's small?
Enough? Yeah, you can get about 2,500, something like that for a Kevlar ultralight. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but they're definitely out there.
Yeah, and you might even look at a solo canoe, because you can keep your old tandem for when somebody wants to go with you, but you want to go by yourself. You can get a solo canoe that weighs 25 pounds.
And then you've got somebody else to help lift up.
Right.
If you're going to go with somebody else. Yeah.
Tandems don't have to be light. It's nice that they are, but if you're getting a boat on and off yourself, it's more about, you know, can you do it by yourself? And that's usually a solo.
Yep. Absolutely. Thomas in Fort Atkinson, thanks a lot for calling.
No problem. I really am shocked because I love your guys' show, and it's like you read my mind. I just bought a kayak 4 days ago. First time ever kayaking was July 4th. Me and my wife bought two kayaks, and we're trying to figure out good places to go kayaking and camping. And I'm also wanting to put on a trolling anchor onto the I don't know if it's the exact term. It's called trolling anchor, but it goes on the right side of the kayak, and you put your anchor through and make sure that can be disengaged.
Oh. Anchor trolley, yes.
Yeah, anchor trolley.
Yeah, so what...
I'm trying to figure out whether I should screw it in, rivet it in, or what's the best way to anchor to mount it to the kayak.
Plastic, I assume?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Can you get to the back side of it, or is it a sit on top?
One of them I can. The other one, I can get in the front part, but the back part is sealed.
Okay. There are rivets that you can get that aren't just a standard little pop rivet, that they have like a spread on them, kind of like a molly bolt. And
okay.
those work really well. If you have to take it off, you have to drill it out, but it's not that hard to do. But yeah, the expanding rivets are the way to go.
Yeah, there we go.
Wonderful. Now, what about like good locations near Little Chute, Appleton? Because I'm a truck driver on the weekends. It's my time to have fun. So.
Yeah.
Any places real close to there that's good to fish while you're kayaking?
There aren't any places that aren't good to fish or kayak there. You're in Mecca, yeah. Well, yeah. But like, you know, the Wapaka Chain of Lakes is just south of there. Head east over towards the Central Wisconsin River. I don't know. There's so many. I don't know where to start.
Gotcha.
But try the Chain of Lakes to start with. That's a beautiful little spot.
Wonderful.
All right. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Darren Bush, our guest today, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network. Coming up at 11:45, we'll talk to the author who paddled from the source of the Chippewa River to the Mississippi, and he wrote a book about it. That's coming up at 11:45. Right now, talking about paddling in summertime with Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Every one of our phone lines is filled, so let's go right back to the phones and to Jan in Janesville. Jan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. My question's about my Minnesota 2. I've got a lightweight Min 2, and I have not been able to satisfactorily trim the boat. I weigh in at 108. My husband is about 150, and typically I paddle in the stern. My normal boat's pro boat.
Okay. Yeah, so for those who don't know what a Minnesota 2 is, it's kind of the archetype of sort of northern Minnesota tripping canoes, 18 and a half feet long, 34 inches wide, Beautiful paddling, fast boat. So it sounds like maybe you've done some racing.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah.
You talk about pro boats.
Yeah, my other boat's a C1. Our dealer boats.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Nice. That's another code. Yeah. John Diller builds beautiful race boats and savage canoes. They're great. I would say it's going to be tough to move the seat back further just because it's so tight back there. So the other option is to move the front seat back a little bit.
Okay, because I have, when tripping with it, I try and put all of the dry bags, as far back as I can.
Sure.
Yeah, because my racing boats, I literally have my rear end hanging off
right
over the back of the boat.
Yeah.
If you see a picture of one, that actually looks like they actually bend the canoe gunnels so that it can accommodate the rear paddler's butt. the boat's actually wider than the person at that point. It's pretty. Pretty cool.
We get put in baby seats, us little mini people.
But yeah, I try moving the front seat back.
How far back do you think?
Probably about a foot.
That would do it.
Well,
my poor husband has to reach over the center of the boat.
Well, I know, and that's the hard part. maybe John will build you a custom boat. He probably would.
Since everything he does is custom, true.
Right. He's a tinker. He'll just suck the gunnels in the front so your husband creates the water.
Actually, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah. We're thinking about it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks, Jan, for calling. Appreciate your call.
Tell John I'm sorry.
Chris in Oshkosh, let's go to you next. Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Hi, Larry, and hi, Darren. It's good to talk to you both again. I just had a comment that, these shows always focus on the boat. And when I was beginning in the sport, the best advice I got was from a longtime paddler who told me, for your first boat, buy the cheapest boat and the best paddle that you can afford. The boat's going to be the wrong one for a lifetime boat anyway, but if you don't have a good paddle in your hands, you're not going to be a paddler in 2 years. You're not going to like the sport.
Well, I would 100% agree with that. And have actually told customers, I'd rather you spend less money on your boat and more money on your paddles. Because I say it's like buying a really nice boat and a cheap paddle. It's like buying a Ferrari and putting retreads on it. The main thing that touches the water is the paddle. I only own about 12 or 13 canoes, but I own like 50 paddles. So I would say that that's
and
true.
What do you look for? What makes a good paddle?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
exactly. That's another show.
And personal choice, right, Darren?
Right. It's how can you get light? The lighter, the better, because no one ever says my paddle's too light. I wish it were heavier, right?
You helped me into a beautiful composite bending branches a few years ago. We had some difficulties doing it, and you just stood up like very, very few retailers ever do. And you've bought my loyalty for pretty much ever. And the paddle is still a treasure.
I'm getting all verklempt. thank you, Chris. It's super important, and I just got a new paddle yesterday. So I loaned one to somebody and forgot who I loaned it to. So if anybody out there has a 215-centimeter carbon fiber Corey Vreckin from Werner Paddles, let me know, because I loaned it to you and it's gone. So.
And nobody gets mine for more than 5 minutes.
Well, my daughter says, Daddy, take a picture of you with the person and the stuff. Then it's always there. And I never thought about that. So,
not a bad idea.
It's a great idea. Yeah.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
Yep, thanks, Chris.
Yeah,
we'll see you soon.
Larry.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Oh, that's great. Deb and Randolph, your turn. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, great. How are you doing?
Good. You're talking about my favorite subject.
Oh, good. What can we do?
We got kayaks about 2 years ago. Prior to that, we were in sit-in kayaks. My husband's 65. I'm going to be 60. I read reviews for a couple of years before I purchased what I did, and that's why I got a sit-on kayak. I highly recommend them for anybody that has... it's kind of easy getting into a kayak, but getting out can really be a problem, especially if you're older or you have arthritis or anything. And sit-on-top kayaks are definitely the answer. Also, I would like to say we have a camper by Boulder Junction, and the the rivers, the streams, the lakes up there. There's maps that you can get at the chamber and stuff, and they are absolutely wonderful up there. Up there, we also have something called Coontail. It's a place where you can, in Boulder Junction, Managua, that you can rent kayaks if you decide to make a purchase within, like, 48 hours or so after that. Amount that you paid for rent applies to the purchase of your kayak. And I'd also like to say, I know Rutabaga sponsors Canoeacopia. If you're into kayaking or you want to get into kayaking, there is nothing better than Canoeacopia.
Oh, lots of great comments there.
Yeah, Coontail's a great shop. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning them. And sit on tops and like, sit in. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Deb.
Well,
we have also gotten into fishing out of the kayaks. So the sit-on-top kayaks are really great for that. They have the rail system, so you can attach everything. Ours have the rail system. You can attach everything to the rail system without making any holes in your boat. So it's just been a great experience.
Yeah, most of the fishing kayaks, I'd say 90% of them are sit-on-tops.
And explain for those who may not be familiar with this.
I was just going to do that.
So, oh, good.
So sit inside kayaks, or what you normally think of as a kayak, is there's a hull and there's a deck and there's a cockpit where you sit inside and your body goes inside the boat. A sit-on-top kayak is where the deck and the hull are fused, but the hull is the same, but the deck is recessed. Instead of sitting inside, you sit on top of it. And it's a good answer for a lot of people that have mobility problems. I had a friend who was struggling with weight and wanted to exercise, but you get in that vicious spiral where, you know, you start to weigh too much to be able to exercise because it hurts.
Yeah.
And so she found kayaking, and she had a sit on top, easy to get in and out, and it really saved her bacon. She just loves it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, Deb, thank you.
Thanks, Deb.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Sit on top. Kayaks. Something to consider. Let's go to Jen in Verona next. Hi, Jen.
Hi there. I think your last caller already hit on my theme. We're talking aging a lot here. I have an 84-year-old mom. I would like to buy her a boat. She has whitewater kayaks since her 40s. Now she's moved to just kind of flat water on the lake. But she still really wants to get out and is having a lot of trouble getting down and into her boat and getting back up and out, you know, stable. It's a little tricky getting in and out of a kayak.
Yep.
And so we looked at, like, floating docks and V supports under the boat as she gets in and out and ways to help her. Your last caller says, go sit upon it. Tell me more.
I was going to say there's a boat that's perfect for her. It's the Hurricane Skimmer. It's a sit-on-top kayak. It's polycarbonate. It's very, very light. It has a super comfortable seat. We sell a ton of them to people that are in that situation where they love to paddle, but they just have trouble getting in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. They went to Hullivators to get things on and off the car probably a year or two ago.
Perfect. Yeah, that's the other thing, is being able to load it.
And explain what those are.
A Hullivator is a product made by Thule. It's a rack company, and what it does is it brings the saddles down to your waist height, and you put the boat on, strap it down, and then click these handles to release the hydraulics, and it picks it up and puts it on your car for you.
They're great things, but I'm telling you, it made the difference between being able to go out and not for my folks, because they just couldn't head press, you know, those boats right up above their shoulders.
And that's what I tell, you know, yeah, it's an expensive solution, but if it's the only thing that works for you, then that's what you do.
Well, excellent. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Yeah, if you can't get the kayak on or the canoe on top of the car,
you're not going to go. And one thing we're seeing more and more is people going to load assist systems, which is what that is. There's other types. There's ones that are not mechanical, but rather just help you situate the boat so it's easier to get it on and off your car. The other thing we're seeing a lot of action is very small trailers. People are just saying, forget it, I don't want to lift it up, I'm going to put on a trailer. But most trailers are really big. So we have micro trailers, essentially, and they're designed to fold up and stow in your garage when you're not using them. But a lot of my paddling friends put two boats on their trailer and keep a box in the middle, you know, like a luggage box. and keep their paddles and their PFDs and everything in the luggage box. And then when I go, they just hook it up and drive away.
Oh, yeah, that is a great idea. How do they do on the road? They're smaller tires, obviously, and I'm wondering if you're traveling a distance.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, the worst ones are the way you go to the farm and fleet and get the trailer that has a 12-inch wheel on it with a big leaf spring. They just bounce all the way down the road. The ones that we sell are from a company called Rack and Roll, which is part of Yakima. And they have actually a motorcycle tire and a motorcycle suspension. So
okay.
I've driven significantly over the speed limit before. I won't say how fast, with four boats on it. And I forgot it's there.
Wow.
They pull beautifully, yeah.
And you can just keep them right on the trailer all the time.
Yeah, just back it into your garage and leave it.
Yeah. Makes good sense. Jim, thanks again. Ryan in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Ryan.
Hi there. I operate a boat patrol down on Lake Kashkan on the Rock River, and we're seeing an uptick in PFD offenses with kayakers and canoers. Looking to see if maybe you could use this as a platform to tell them how dangerous it could be.
You wonder why anybody would get in one without a PFD.
Yeah, Ryan, thank you. This is something that's very, this is a nationwide problem. I'm actually working in concert with the Coast Guard right now to come up with a national platform. I'm working with an industry coalition to educate people on wearing PFDs. They're seeing an uptick in, deaths and people getting in trouble. Usually in April when it's 80 degrees and the water's 50, and they just went and bought a boat down at the hardware store that cost $199 with paddle. And they go out and they paddle around because it's 80 degrees and it feels great. And then they flip and it's over. So the number of people that are getting in trouble, they're not educated. They don't understand what they don't know until they're in the water. Then it's too late. So yeah, if you are on the water, you wear a life jacket. And our family rule is you don't go near the water without a life jacket on. And I'll paddle the Wisconsin River in the summer when it's, 85 degrees and the water's 70. I wear a life jacket because if I could go over and bump my head on a log and drown. And it's just, we don't do that. And it's a cultural thing. So I think it's kind of like seatbelts. That's the best public health initiative that ever happened, because I grew up in a family where they just throw all the kids in the back of the car and drive around, right?
Yeah.
And now suddenly it happened. I don't know when it was. I think it was in the 80s where it became totally uncool to not wear seatbelts. And now pretty much everybody wears seatbelts. It's normal. And as a result, traffic deaths went down. We need the same thing with PFDs. People need to know that it's something you just do. And if your PFD isn't comfortable, then you need to get a different one.
Yeah. What are the best kinds to have, PFDs?
The ones you'll wear.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. Yeah. You can, if you get a $7 PFD and put it on and it's type rated and you'll wear it, that's better than nothing. You're better off with something that fits a little more comfortably. I like the ones that are so comfortable you forget you're wearing them.
Yeah. There are some that, they're just like a shirt or something.
Oh, I walked into Metcalf's one time to buy some groceries after paddling, and I was standing there getting my wallet out, and I looked down and I was wearing my life jacket. driven all the way from Lake Winger to the grocery store
and
forgot that I had it on.
Calves.
Yeah, no. They're just looking at me like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm afraid I might fall in the seafood section or something.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, but it's not a joking matter. I mean, you need to wear...
If you have one, wear it. If you don't have one, get one. It's that simple. When people, die in boating accidents, they're either drunk, not wearing a PFD, or both.
Yeah.
That's it, right? The numbers are super clear.
Brian, thanks for calling with that reminder.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. One of my longtime fishing buddies drowned, muskie fishing, fell out of the boat. We'd fished together for 30 years, and he didn't have his PFD on that day.
Right. And because it was hot, and it was calm, and he didn't need it, right? Well, you don't need it until you need it, right?
Yeah. Barb in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Barb.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I heard Mike from Appleton a little while back, and... I know the guest mentioned Green Bay Paddlers. That's where I started. My husband and I started with lessons with them at the Appleton Y, and they're an absolutely awesome group of people to get associated with. As far as I know, they still do lessons at the Appleton Y, and they, once your class is done, they do both whitewater and flatwater, and once your class is done, they take you out on your first time out, teach tons of safety. And in regards to safety, paddle leashes and boat leashes, there was a story on Good Morning America this week about paddle boarders and not having leashes and getting stuck out on riptides and whatnot, and people drowning for those reasons.
Yeah.
So just a couple of thoughts. Quick question, since I'm lucky enough to be on. I had back surgery a couple of years ago. My husband and I have a couple of pygmies that he built.
Oh, cool.
And I have problems with my back. I get sore. I need a better back support than what came with our boats. Is there something out there? It needs to be a little higher.
Yep, plenty of things out there. I just sat on my front lawn 2 days ago with a customer, with a big thing of gray foam and a hacksaw and some glue, and we were fastening making new things to make her kayak more comfortable. So anything's possible. There's some back bands from Snapdragon has a really nice back band. Seals has a really nice back band. But the best thing to do is bring the boat in, and we'll just look at it, and you sit in, and we'll figure it out.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sure. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yep.
And Roxy in Costco, your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
My question was regards to the life jackets, because we're up north and we boat a lot, and a friend of ours said the DNR had just stopped them and their life jackets had expired and they got a fine for it. So I was just curious. Like, I mean, I know a lot of ours are very old. So how could we check this out?
As far as I know, there is no expiration date for a PFD. My personal feeling is they last about 5 years. And I think they were looking for obvious UV damage or something like that. Those, throw it away before, it's like a bike helmet, throw it away before you find out it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a good rule, 5 year.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thanks, Roxy. Yeah, another good question and answer there. Let's go to Todd in Woodruff. Hi, Todd. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, good morning. I just wanted to pipe in here. During the winter, I do a lot of night skiing and snowshoeing, and when the moon's out, it's just beautiful. You don't need a headlamp. It's super peaceful. It's not crowded, obviously. And I've recently gotten into night kayaking, and last night, for instance, I went out, and it was just the most gorgeous night you could ever imagine. Slight breeze, almost no waves, and just calm and peaceful, and you were listening to the frogs, and just, it's a great thing to do. So if people are looking for something a little different or a little bit of excitement, especially when the moon is up, I would encourage them to do that. And then also in our area, we do have the store that the lady mentioned, but we've also got the Shawamagon Adventure Company.
Oh, Andy's place.
They do free trials. Typically in the summer, every week on the lake right in town here, and you can go there and try out a paddleboard, a kayak, a canoe, all kinds of things, and see if you like them before you buy them.
Yeah, cool.
Which is a really great thing to do. So thanks
yeah,
for listening.
It's funny. There's a couple dozen shops in the state that focus on paddling, and we all know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't anybody in this state that I wouldn't send a friend to.
Yeah,
they're all good. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks again, Todd. Appreciate your call. Summer, on his way back to Madison, called to thank you, Darren, for your donation of a kayak to the river raptors like the bird raptors, to help them raise over $4,000 for the Natural Resources Foundation.
You're welcome. Moving on.
that's pretty nice. Hank on Facebook says he owns a nice fishing boat with all the bells and whistles, but he'd rather fish out of his kayak. He fishes or just floats, virtually the only one out on many lakes and flowages during the week, which is another good tip. Even the Madison Change, Lake Monona, for example,
sure,
where I am, I mean, there are very few people out on that water in the week, during the middle of the week.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately, or fortunately, I work a lot of weekends just because that's how it works in outdoor retail. The good news is my day off is usually during the week, so it's easy for me to get out. And I've paddled the Wisconsin River in, you know, the middle of August past spring green and not seen another person.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. You have a cool weekend coming up in Door County.
Yeah, I'm leaving tomorrow. Door County CCAC Symposium, it's our 12th, I think, or 13th year, I don't remember. But we take over Raleigh's Bay, and we've been sold out for months. I'm really excited. The staff left this morning with all the kayaks and all the gear and the trailers and everything, and they go up and get it set up, and then I'll just waltz in tomorrow.
And so you talk about...
We have 180 students and about 40 instructors and a bunch of staff, and we teach classes and do tours all over Door County.
Does that sound like fun.
Door County is the Moab of sea kayaking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I don't know why it isn't a mecca. It's amazing.
You've got to get on early if you're going to sign up for that every year.
Yeah, it's getting earlier and earlier. We had a waiting list again this year. It's so fun. The community that we create is what it's really all about.
And then people stay nearby, or they have a...
They can stay at Raleigh's Bay Resort. They can stay at the campground down the road. They can stay with their friends. They can sleep in their car like us dirtbags usually do. But yeah, they can do whatever they want. Yeah.
And someone was wondering about kayaking and canoe racing, where you could find out more information on that.
A couple of different places. I mean, if you just Google, you know, canoe racing, there's a national body, you know, U.S. Canoe Association, that has sanctioned races. And they use very specific kayaks and canoes that are very specifically set up for racing. They're not really seaworthy for any type of tripping or anything like that, but they're made to go really fast in a straight line. And they're really cool. I mean, you can go, you know, 8+ miles an hour in those things. They really haul.
That's fast.
Yeah, it's really fast. It's really fun. I gave up racing when my race partner went off to medical school and I didn't feel like breaking in a new one. So now I just last one off the water wins as far as I'm concerned. So
we've got Richard Cornell coming up to talk about his book, The Chippewa. Have you? I'm sure you've kayaked or canoed the Chippewa.
I've canoed
river.
The Chippewa. Yeah, it's beautiful because it's a beautiful river by itself. But usually there's places in Wisconsin that get all the love, like the Flambeau. I love the Flambeau. Flambeau's great. You know, St. Croix River is great. Yeah, and the Chippewa is kind of that second tier river that no one talks about very much. That's just as beautiful.
Just as beautiful. You're absolutely right. Well, Darren, it's such a pleasure. Have fun in Door County next
week. I'll do my best.
I'm sure it'll be hard, but do your best.
I'll do what I can, yeah.
Thanks so much. We'll look forward to your next visit. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and a nice guy and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. It's great to have him with us. And I think it's kind of the perfect setup show to our next guest who's coming up to talk about paddling on the Chippewa and the history of that Chippewa River. Next on the Ideas Network.